This past weekend was the first since the Wisconsin Supreme Court struck down the state's stay-at-home order. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says people flocked to Lake Geneva on Saturday to take advantage of nice weather and visit restaurants, shop, and get out. Residents of Illinois also reportedly headed to the city as their state remains shut down for a couple more weeks. With no statewide rules in place to guard against COVID-19, Wisconsin businesses can largely decide for themselves whether and how to reopen. Some areas, like Milwaukee and Dane counties, quickly put their own safeguards in place. While Governor Evers still favors a statewide approach to battling the virus, state Republicans say it's not necessary and that businesses and local governments can be trusted to reopen safely. We talked to Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes on Thursday. Right now, Van Wongard joins us. He's a Republican state senator and majority caucus chair from Wisconsin's 21st district. That includes parts of Racine and Kenosha counties. Senator Wongard, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, it's great being out with you, Rob. It's a great day to be out and about and alive.
And we have a reliable source telling us that this is your 47th wedding anniversary today. If so, congratulations.
Uh-oh, cat's out of the bag. That's correct. 47 years married, and then I dated my wife for 5 years, too. So it's actually 52, but 47 is a pretty good goal anyway.
Not too bad. Well, thanks for taking time on that important day. Well, let's get to the topic at hand. What do you see now? What is your reaction to that statewide change now from the Supreme Court last week and the end of Safer at Home?
Well, honestly, you know, when this first started and they first put the two-week quarantine in place for everybody, that really kind of made sense, even though it really didn't fit with our ability to, for our freedom, just locking everybody down and closing businesses. But I could at least understand that. Then when it continued to be evolving 2 weeks, and then in the middle of the next 2 weeks, they sent it into the middle of May, that made no sense. So I think what the court did is the court looked at what actually was brought forward by DHS, and they rightly found that an unelected individual should not have more authority to tell people that they could be locked in their homes and close their business indefinitely, even more so than what the legislature or the governor has the authority to do. So I think that was definitely the right call, and I think that just locking people up in their own environment doesn't allow for herding to occur, which we know is something that continues to work against these viruses, to kill these viruses. And so by locking everybody up, you just create the potential for less immunity to the virus itself. So I think we're on the right track.
You're saying the buildup of herd immunity, is that what you're referring to?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think if you talk to a lot of the physicians, and I've talked to our infectious disease expert in Racine County, and an individual that did travel medicine for decades, a doctor that my wife worked with for about 15 years, and he said, this is exactly right that we should be doing herd immunity. We should be protecting the vulnerable. Don't lock everybody up and close businesses. That's going to become worse than the virus itself.
The idea of herd immunity is, as I understand it, a pretty long time off. The concern in the meantime was having too many cases happening at once, putting our resources at risk, especially potentially in rural Wisconsin. The argument has been that Safer at Home is helping us and helped us avoid that. Do you agree with that, that at least initially that did it? And if so, why is now the right time to stop that?
Sure. Maybe in the first 2 weeks that made sense. This is the problem I have. The data that they used to begin with was so far off and so inaccurate that they were doing models. They were projecting 2.2 million people dying in the next 10 days. Well, we know that didn't happen. And then it went down to 1.1, then down to 600,000, then down to 200,000. You know, we don't want to lose any life if we don't have to. But if you look at all the other death rates that are normally there, like from heart attack, we generally have about 675,000 deaths from heart attacks every year. And from other types of things like cancer, those are in the 300,000-400,000 strokes. Look at the death rates across the country for how they are recording these COVID deaths, and you'll find that they've all dropped 25-30%, even more, because they're just coding them as presumably having been COVID-19 deaths. So do we really know what the accurate data is? If you put inaccurate information, and that's what you're getting out.
I want a lot of the public health experts I've talked to, though, say we're undercounting COVID-19 because a lot of them weren't tested initially and thus not coded.
No, I think that maybe from the testing standpoint, and remember earlier in this early process when they were doing testing, the testing wasn't that effective either. It was like 60% accurate or 50% accurate because they didn't know what they were testing for, so they didn't have a lot of those tests available. Tests have gotten better. We're testing a lot more now, so I think we're going to see there's a lot more asymptomatic people that already have this, that have had this. But, you know, I think when you look at this from the standpoint of locking people up, we should be looking at making sure that people are vulnerable, are protected, and, you know, it's about making good choices, and it's about washing your hands and not breathing on people or coughing on people. And, you know, I mean, these are just things that are common sense that, quite honestly, we can't take and legislate. And I was going to say, if you go to the Wisconsin Health Association website, you can see what the occupancy rate is in our hospitals every day, and it's in real time. And you look at the number of people that we have in ICU, as an example, in ICU beds from COVID-19, and it's about 110, I think, today, something like that. So we're going to lock down 8 million people because we have 100 people or 110 people in ICU. And we have all these additional resources that are available. It hasn't overwhelmed our system. So I think that at what point does the virus become, or the cure to the virus become worse than the virus? And I think that's where we're at right now. We've got to make that decision. We can't kill all our businesses. We just can't.
We're talking to Republican State Senator Van Wongard from Racine and Kenosha counties, talking about the state's reaction to the COVID-19 outbreak and the end of safer at home orders. So now we have local and county governments, some of them putting safer at home orders of their own into effect, some not, some doing it briefly and then withdrawing it over legal concerns. What do you think of that, that approach? Some locals being able to do that, others not.
Well, I think that it should be regionalized and it should be local considering what the circumstances are in your local area, but just locking it down to lock it down, that doesn't make any sense to me. As an example, City of Racine they've got everything closed up tight still, and they're going to lose a lot of businesses that aren't going to be able to go through this. Businesses get it. They know that if they can only see three people coming in the door, they're going to figure out ways to do their business. You know, taking that right away from a business owner is just absolutely wrong, and taking it away from people that do have a brain on their head and are going to go out there and exercise good common sense. I mean, this is America. This isn't Russia. It isn't Germany. This is America. We should be able to make those decisions, I think, for ourselves. And if you look at, as an example, the city of Racine, their health people just locked it down the same as the thing that we just was taken out by the Supreme Court, ruled to be unenforceable. And that's basically what the city of Racine has enacted locally. And then you have the Central Racine County Health Department, which is everything else but the city of Racine. All of those municipalities, they have their own health department, and they put guidelines out, new recommendations. These are guidelines. They're not going to have the police out making arrests if you're 5 feet away from somebody instead of six. But they came out with something that were some really good guidelines that came out through Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. So they agreed with those, and I think these are really common sense, and you can find that on their website. Can't see where it is. Oh, here it is. www.crchd.com/COVID-19. And that'll give you Caledonia's or the Central Racine County guidelines. They have, these are common sense. So I think it's about just making good choices, making common sense, educating people what they should do. But it doesn't make sense. One of my colleagues quickly, when we had one of our conference calls, said they had one COVID death in his district. And in that same week, they had four suicides directly tied to COVID-19. People that lost their jobs or their businesses were going down, they committed suicide. So what's worse? Is it worse to have people dying because of those kinds of issues? Or is it worse to go to work and have a business and use a little common sense with how you're making your livelihood and feeding your family? I think that's what America's all about.
As we wrap up, I want to look at efforts to help get businesses back on track. Governor Evers announced a $75 million initiative aimed at grants for local businesses to help them improve safety measures. This is funded by some of the federal economic recovery package passed. What do you think of this plan? They're calling it the We're All In initiative.
Well, you know, this is the deal. Just throwing money at it is not necessarily what we need to do either. As far as the governor's administration is concerned, he has not been very forthcoming with meeting with the legislature, discussing these issues, and I don't care what he says on his press conferences. The day before the Supreme Court ruling came down, our leadership talked to the governor and wanted to sit down and start talking before that decision came out. And his response was, well, we just have to wait and see what happens. Instead of sitting down and starting to talk about it and have a conversation, that's the only way we're going to get things done through consensus. Instead of, as an example, he withdrew his scope statement and his response was, well, we're never going to be able to do anything anyway. Well, that tells me that that man does not, and his administration does not want to sit down and have a conversation. And I'm telling you, it's very frustrating. And if you ask legislators on both sides of the aisle, I'll sit down and talk with people about things. And there's many of our colleagues that want to sit down and have a conversation, but he doesn't want to do that. So all this rhetoric with what he puts out there is a big sham, and he creates the chaos. And I love the way he likes to throw that word out there, but it's really challenging because this should not be a political football. We're talking about, you know, people's livelihoods. And I talked to some young people today that were having suicidal thoughts because of school issues and not being able to complete them. I want to sit down and have a conversation about what we're going to do with schools. There's so much pressure that these kids are going through. Those are the kinds of discussions we should be having. We shouldn't be just arguing about, well, I don't want to sit down and they're not going to talk to me about this.
Well, just to clarify, your Republican colleague, Senator Steve Nossett, asked the Evers administration to withdraw that scope statement.
He sure did, because the scope statement that he put in there was basically the same safer at home that the court just found to be unconstitutional. So why would we even entertain that, given that it's not lawfully able to be enforced to begin with? Just locking people down is not going to work. We're not going to give an unelected person the ability to go and shut the entire state down and tell 8 million people you got to stay home. That's not going to happen. We need to sit down and have a conversation. And, you know, his scope statement, if you look at the statement, it basically parallels what he put out, what the court found was not enforceable or not operable. And there's also another court case pending with the Supreme Court that deals with the constitutionality of keeping people home. And I think I'm hoping that that result's going to come out pretty quick, and I think we will prevail. I think the people that brought the suit are going to prevail with that, because you can't just tell people you're going to stay home. You know, back in the old days when I was a kid, and if you had German measles or you had mumps, they quarantined the house you lived in or quarantined you to a room in the house because you had the infectious disease. They didn't tell everybody else in the city, gee, Van's got the measles, so everybody else stay home so you don't get it. That makes no sense. And that's
Senator Wongard, that's all the time we have. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks, Rob. I appreciate being on your show.
That's Van Wongard, Republican State Senator and Majority Caucus Chair for Wisconsin's 21st District in southeastern Wisconsin. We talked to him today about the state's approach to reopening Wisconsin's economy. We heard from Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes on Thursday.